Good morning, everyone. How's everyone this fine day? Let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we get to look in your word, Lord. Be with us and give us, have the Holy Spirit help us to understand your word and that we can learn from it and learn from you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I just heard my speaker going. Let me shut it off before I get a feedback here. Okay, so calling this a Babylonian invasion, because it's still part of the parable, kind of, that we talked about yesterday. But let's talk a little bit more about the invasion, the Babylonian invasion, and some of the things leading up to it. So we're going to cover verses 22 through 35 today. And so let's get into the word. Okay, starting at verse 22. Therefore, O Helabai, Helabai, remember, is the southern kingdom, which would be the main thrust of the book of Ezekiel. And it means, the meaning of the word, it actually means tabernacle, or our tent is in her, meaning that God's dwelling place, having to do with the temple, is in this part of, is in her. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. So here, these same individuals that basically God is, Judah has been kind of becoming very friendly with, now God's going to use them as instruments to come against them and to inflict his punishment on them. So that's the whole emphasis by this parable, is that they weren't following God's ways, and so they were turning to their neighbors, and they were turning to idolatry, and they were turning to idol worship and all the things that God really abhors, and now God's going to punish them for it. So as a little review, complimentary to this, is Ezekiel 16:37 and through 41. Helps us identify what's going on here. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that hast loved, and with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. Now, I finally realize what God's talking about here with this particular terminology about nakedness. Here in a minute, I'll explain what it means. And I will judge thee as a woman that breaketh wedlock, and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. I will also give thee into thy hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down the high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, shall take thy fair jewels, leave thee naked and bare. Keep in mind that verse there. Then shall also bring up a company against thee, and thou shalt stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And that's kind of a... they shall also bring up, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. The stones here in this case would be like the catapults you've probably seen in old movies that they use to try to break down walls and stuff. And it's kind of symbolic of the basic punishment that was used in that time frame of the way they would kill somebody in like a corporate type punishment is to stone them to death. So, and they shall burn thine houses with fire and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women, and I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. Now also give no hire anymore. Okay, with Ezekiel. Where did I put? Oh, Ezekiel 23:9 also. Lost my place there for a second. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. So here and now, I found a really neat verse to kind of help us understand what's going on here and why God is kind of using some of this terminology about nakedness. I've been wondering myself, and it's in Isaiah 39, 3 and 4. And here Isaiah is coming, the prophet comes under Hezekiah. Okay, and you know, Hezekiah was the one that was in charge just prior to this period of time. Oh no, he's in charge now. And then came Isaiah, the prophet, under King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. And here's the verse here. Then said he, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Well, there's a big no-no, particularly when it comes to a potential enemy. I remember training when I was in the military was that when you captured a prisoner, you never brought him into your camp directly, because then he could see things that if he ever escaped, that he could take back to the enemy and would share like information that would help somebody conquer them. Well, in this case, same thing's happening, is that the Babylonians now know how rich the temple is, how much all of the nice things that they have. And you notice we read in that verses in Ezekiel, there in 16:39, I mentioned, pay attention to that. When Babylon comes back, they strip them naked of all their precious jewels and clothing and all their nice stuff and take it back to Babylon with them. So now I can see what's meant by the nakedness is they're basically leaving them high and dry. They're going to take away anything of value. Well, I found it kind of interesting that the same thing is going to be repeated in the future, in Revelation 17, 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Along the same lines of showing... kind of like showing your hand, you know, when you're playing poker, the worst thing you want to do is show your hand, as they say. Not that I actually gamble, but that I've heard that term before and used quite a bit. You know, try to play, I know when I play poker, one of the things that I've heard is that that people around the table will watch each other to see if they're bluffing and that they're being deceived about what kind of a hand they have. And so that's the whole game of poker is to try to guess if somebody's lying to you or not on what they have in their hand. I don't know why that just came to me, but it did. Ezekiel 23:23. So here we're going to talk about the different countries that God is going to ultimately turn against Israel. The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Sheo and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, and all of their desirable young men, captains and rulers, great lords and renown, all of them riding upon horses. So it means they have the riding upon horses, they also have a lot of military strength. And Jeremiah 50:21 helps us understand this. Go up against the land of Marathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. Well, here, in a prior period of time, God had instructed prior to this time frame to actually go and destroy the inhabitants of this Pekod. And now they're going to turn on them and become their enemy to destroy them. So if they would listen to God in the first place, then they wouldn't have be facing them as a potential enemy. Also, in 2 Kings 24, I'm listing all the different places that mentioned in that parable and how they relationship with the with Israel, with Judea. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans and bands of Syrians and bands of Moabites and bands of children of Ammon, and sent them against Judea to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. So this is where it actually comes to pass. It's recorded in 2 Kings. Also in 2 Kings 25, 1 through 3. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. and the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. That was the famine part. Okay, back to Ezekiel 23:24. And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people which have set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will set judgment upon them before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments. And I will set my jealousy against thee, and they shall deal fiercely with thee. They shall take away thy nose and thine ears, and the remnant shall fall by the sword. And they shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and their residue shall be devoured by fire. Now again, this is all talking about what's going to be happening here in just a couple of more years. We're almost there. And we'll jump ahead a little bit to a future date, talking about a jealous God and what God felt. And I put in the wrong verse. It should be this is the one. I had down 34. 14, let me see. Yeah. No, I have the right one. I wrote it down wrong. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all of Edomia, which that's just south of, just a little bit south of Judea, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with the despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury, because ye have bore the shame of the heathen. Also in Zephaniah 1:18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. So God is basically going to, is it, that nothing that they can do, their monetary gains of any kind are not going to be able to save them. You can't buy your way into heaven, in other words. Also over in James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That's James, brother, the half-brother of Jesus, talking about how this is still in play today. You got two choices. You either follow God or you can follow the world. And if you follow the world, then God won't. What was it? One commentary used to put it, wherever we put our emphasis is where our loyalty is. And you can't be loyal to the world and be loyal to God at the same time. That's not to say that being successful, it's more about the love of money and power and prestige than having it. I think there's plenty of rich people that have done quite well. And like, for instance, everyone pretty much is in agreement that Job was very, very rich, as we can tell by the book of Job. And when God took it away, he was fine with it. And because he was faithful, God gave it all back to him. Some say that Jeremiah was very wealthy because he was able to, just out of his servants, there was enough men to actually bring up an army of, I think it was like by 600 people, 600 men of military age to go rescue his cousin, his nephew Lot, if you remember from that story. Maybe it was more like 300, I think it was. Either way, he was able, he had a lot of people that worked for him. Back to Ezekiel 23:26. I just realized that. I don't know if you saw that, did you? My screen was frozen. Here's the Zephaniah one I read, just in case you didn't see it before. And here's the James verses that I mentioned. Okay, back to Ezekiel 23:26. They shall also strip thee out of thy clothes and take away thy fair jewels. So again, this is Hezekiah showed his hand to the king of Babylon. And here we got another, what God is saying is that they're going to be stripped out of their clothes and their fine fair jewels. I mean, he's going to take anything of value with him once he captures the city. And that was pretty typical even today. You know, when you win a war, you basically own that country. So you can take whatever you want. That's pretty given, except for in the United States, we're a little bit, we've always been kind of a little bit nicer to people when we win in a war. We kind of let them have it back, sometimes to our detriment. Okay, over in Isaiah helps us understand this a little bit too. See where I'm at here. Verse 26. Talking about being stripped out of clothes, Isaiah 3:18 through 23. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of thy tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimplings and the crisping pins. Some of that stuff, I don't even know what it is. Probably all kind of ladies' things for her hair and stuff. The glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. Okay, that's just an example of some of the stuff they took. So basically, taking a spoil and leaving you naked. Also in here in Ezekiel 16:39. I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down. Remember from a past time, eminent place was actually the temple. That's what eminent means, a place of high honor, of holy, high prestige, like a palace. But in this case, it's talking about the temple. Shall break down the high places, and shall strip thee also of thy clothes, shall take their fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. Back to Ezekiel 23:27. Thus will I make thy lewdness to cease from thee, and thy whoredom brought from the land of Egypt, so that thou shalt not lift up thine eyes any unto them, nor remember Egypt any more. He's basically making a point here that he tried to turn to these other places, and so he's going to use those other places against them to teach them a lesson. The old saying I used to hear keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. In other words, keep an eye on them. You never know when they might turn on you. Okay, Ezekiel verse 28. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will deliver thee into the hand of them whom thou hatest, into the hand of them from whom thy mind is alienated. So you thought they were your friends, but they're not going to be your friends forever. I see a compliment verse over in Jeremiah 21. And afterwards saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judea, and his servants and the people, and such as are left in the city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy. And unto these people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. And he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him, for I pray. For I have set my face against this city for evil, and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Basically, it's going to completely wipe out Jerusalem. This is one of a few times that's happened. Okay, Ezekiel 23:29. And they shall deal with thee hatefully, and shall take away all thy labor, and shall leave thee naked and bare, and the nakedness of thy whoredoms shall be discovered, both thy lewdness and their whoredoms. Again, if they would have, at any point in time, if they would have realized their error and turned to the Lord, I'm sure that he would have allowed them to repent and to save them. I always think back to the story of Jonah went up to Nineveh, and they repented, and God gave them more time. They went back into evil again, but they did repent from that one king, and Jonah didn't go up there and give him an ultimatum. He just basically said, "You're dying." In 40 days. So I think of that story that there are times that if we just take it upon ourselves to turn and repent to the Lord, that he will change whatever he was thinking he was going to do. He might, I don't want to use the word change his mind, because he doesn't really change his mind, but that he allows us the freedom to choose. And if we choose correctly, then he's going to honor us for it. Okay, verse 29, over in Deuteronomy 28:48, helps us with this verse. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. So basically, take your punishment. And things are going to be better, but you're going to be at the end of this. I got a nice little passage to kind of end this with. It kind of gives us some hope about what God ultimately does for us when he's refining us. Ezekiel 23:30. I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. And over in Jeremiah 17, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. I think I put the wrong verse in here. Those being Jeremiah 12. No, that's right. Never mind. Verse 30. Okay. Well, good. Let me look at that again. I got to refresh my memory. I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Heal me, O Lord, I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. I'm not sure why I picked that, but okay, we'll go move on. Sometimes something makes sense when I first look at it, and other times it doesn't when I actually get to it. Back to Ezekiel 23:31. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister, therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Now, the sister here would be the northern kingdom we're talking about. And the cup is the cup of wrath. And it, the same cup of wrath that he gave, that God gave the northern kingdom, is now he's going to give to the southern kingdom. That's what it's basically saying there. Thus saith the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large, and thou shalt be laughed to scorn and had in derision, and containest much. There's a lot of wrath in this cup. that shall be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister Samaria. Thou shalt even drink it and suck it out, and thou shalt break the shouts thereof, and pluck off thy own breasts, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. No turning back now. Some verses that reflect on this is Psalm 75:8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red and is full of mixture. And he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury, and thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, and wrung them out. Verses to confirm what's going on with that cup. Okay, Ezekiel 23:35. This is where we're going to stop for today. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. I found a great passage in Hebrews that I really liked when it comes to this. Hebrews 12:6-11. It's an important thing to remember that if you're a follower of God, you're going to be chastised on occasion, particularly if you don't follow his ways. And it's to refine us. That's a great passage to remember. And I just read through it. Starting at 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth, and scourgeth every son whom he received. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be, did it again. Okay, I just missed that whole Ezekiel passage. Well, let me go back and read it. My program kind of stopped working. Let's run through this real quick again. I know you guys didn't see it, and I want to make sure it's in the recording. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister, therefore will I give her cup into thy hand. It saith the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed to scorn and held in derision, and containeth much. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and the desolation with the cup of thy sister Samaria. Thou shalt even drink it and suck it out, and thou shalt break the shards thereof and pluck off their own breasts, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. In Psalm 75:8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red and full of mixture. And he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. And also Isaiah 51:17. Awake, awake, O Lord. Stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of cup of trembling and wrung them out. Ezekiel 23:35. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back before. Therefore, bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. Now back to Hebrews. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, that was if God ignores you and you never get chastened, you might want to check your birth certificate, as they say. Wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And I'll end on that. It's a great verse to remember. So if you're going through some trouble, dark times, that's the Lord making you stronger, making you better, getting you ready for his kingdom. Purifying you like gold, when we talked about a few days ago. So I'm going to stop for today. Let's do a little word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word. Thank you, Lord, so much for all this teaching and that you do chasten us. But Lord, we know it's for our best and for our good. And we love you and we care that you care about us so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I will talk to you again tomorrow. And you have a great day.